reports. Heavenly Father, this morning I ask that you grant me wisdom, Lord, to speak your message. Lord, I ask that you give me boldness to speak it the way you'd like me to. Heavenly Father, I ask that if I go outside of those bounds that you set before me, Lord, that you silence me and bring me back. Heavenly Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit go forth to this audience, to open their ears and their minds to hearing your word. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning we're going to continue in a series we've been on the Holy Spirit. We started with the deity of the Holy Spirit and establishing it, his position as a part of the Holy Trinity. Then we went on to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the differences between it and a water baptism. Beyond that, we talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and what it meant to have a piece of the living God inside of each and every one of us, inside of us as a temple for Him. Today we're going to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you would begin with me, we would turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. For us to really understand how the anointing of the Holy Spirit works, we need to look at some examples. And the best example we can find is that of Jesus. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, but I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water.' And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. I did not know him, but it was he who sent me to baptize with water, said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" So the first anointing we see of Jesus Christ is his anointing as the Son of God, with the Holy Spirit coming down in the shape of a dove and resting upon him. As the Son of God, that decreed him as Lord of all. And that was his first anointing, to be the Lamb of God and to be the Son of God. We hear both of those called out in here. But he is anointed more than this. If we turn to Luke now, chapter 4. Beginning in verse 18. Now this is Jesus who's talking in Nazareth. He's talking and reading before the groups that have gathered there at the temple in Nazareth. And he reads from the Holy Word, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You see, Christ was also anointed by the Holy Spirit to perform a specific mission here on earth, to perform roles, to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim to the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to declare the coming of the Lord. You see, he was anointed as a priest, the high priest, to go forth and make this message, to deliver these miracles to the people. But that wasn't the only anointing Jesus had. If we turn now back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 6. when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of a very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head and set at his table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done the good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring of this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. As assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." You see, Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit through Mary, anointed with oil for his coming burial, to become that ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of our sins. You see, he was anointed as Lord, Son of God, the Lamb of God. He was anointed as the priest to come and deliver the message to the poor of spirit. And he was anointed for burial to be our sacrifice. These are some powerful anointings. These are strong anointings. In Matthew 25, see, Jesus was aware what the plan was. He knew what the end was going to be for him while he was here on earth. He knew what he was anointed for. And in Matthew 25, beginning reading in verse 36.
I got lost. I did. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong verse.
We know that as Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he goes there to pray, he brings his closest disciples with him. And he asks them, "Please, stay awake. Tarry with me." And he goes over by himself, and it says that he is brought down to weep. And he says, "Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me." You see, he knew his anointing. And he knew what it would entail. And he knew that the cup of God's wrath would be poured down upon him. You see, he just wasn't beat, maimed, stabbed, hung on a cross. You see, he bore the weight of every sin of humanity upon him at that point. And as such, he bore the wrath of God upon him for that time. And when he died, he didn't just die and go to some purgatory, some happy place. He went down to hell, it tells us. And he preached to the spirits down there. And he was down there for each and every one of our sins. And he knew that was before him. So he asked God, if it pleases you, please let this cup pass. But if it is your will, so let it be done. And he gave himself over to his anointing. You see, sometimes our anointings are such that they are going to have some personal pain to us, cause us some grief, cause us to step into an area that we may not be familiar with, cause us to go into an area where we may be embarrassed, where we might have some penalty to this. But I'll tell you, we pay no penalty like that of Jesus Christ. He had an anointing like none other. And he did it. And he accepted that anointing for each and every one of us. So now I've talked about Jesus Christ. And this sermon is about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit anointing of us. So let's put this in perspective. 2 Corinthians. If you would turn with me. Chapter 1. Beginning in verse 21. "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You see, the Holy Spirit is still amongst us today, living inside and dwelling inside of those who believe. And He anoints us to perform God's work here on earth. You might say, but who am I? I'm nothing in comparison. Right, we're nothing in comparison to Jesus. But we can still be used by the Holy Spirit. Be used to demonstrate God's power here on earth. There was another young man that had similar thoughts. We turn back to 1 Samuel. Chapter 16. In verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I mean to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said, and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, do you come peacefully? You see, Samuel was the judge at that time. He was a high priest. And where Samuel went, he judged. And when he entered their town, they all trembled. They didn't know what was going on. You see, Samuel put himself out there because the Lord told him, you need to go to Jesse. And Samuel was concerned for his own well-being. He said, if Saul finds out, what will happen to me? And God told him how to get past that. So here Samuel arrives. And the crowd is trembling. And he said, peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely this, the Lord's anointed one, is before him. You see, Jesse had many, many sons. And here at this feast before the sacrifice, they come before Samuel. And the oldest, Eliab, comes right before him. And he's a towering man. And Samuel says, surely this is the one the Lord anoints. Look at the size of this man. It's got to be him. In verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we know in this story that Samuel goes through each of the sons and gets to the smallest run of the litter. The one that wasn't even at the party because he had to go do the chores outside. He's out tending the sheep. The smallest of all of them. Raggedy old David. You see, the Lord doesn't care how big you are. The Lord doesn't care how much money you got. The Lord doesn't care how many people you know. When He anoints you to do a job, He knows you can do it. He's looking at your heart. Similar to David. Acts 1. Chapter 8. And when this anointing falls upon you, just like with David, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You see, it's not about you at that point. It's about obedience. So the Holy Spirit can demonstrate the Father's love through you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that completes that anointing. but it's your obedience to accept it. This might come at times that are not comfortable. It might come at times that you might not expect it. You might be woken up in the middle of the night and have an option to just roll out of the bed and start praying for somebody that you know. Such an option that you don't even know why, but you're almost in tears because you know that you're supposed to be praying for them. That's an anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Father uses the entire body of the church for the good of one another, for everyone. It'll bring you to your knees when you're not planning for it. A couple years ago, I was helping my father at a church in Goddard. And there was a family there that my father had been working with for many years. And it was a broken family. It was a single mother with two kids and some divorced grandparents. They were all living together. And the mother came to my father and my mom and said, "We need your help." Our little boy, when he's here, he's a different person from when he's at home. As soon as he gets to home, he hurts his little sister. He hurts us. And it takes all of our power just to control him. He's come after us with a knife, with a bat. This little boy. All of them. 7 years old. And my mother and father went over there and they looked at me and they said, "You need to come." So I went over there. We're all outside the trailer house except for this young boy. Mom said, "Mark, you're supposed to go in there and get him." We could hear outside, from outside their dogs. You see, she bought dogs to guard her house. And she had a Labrador breed in there, and we could hear it growling and barking and lunging against the door. Now, I grew up afraid of dogs. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit fell upon me. I went to that door and I opened that door. I didn't have anything in my hand. And that dog stole snarling at me. And I looked at it and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be quiet." And it went over to the corner and it sat down. And I went back to that back room and I could hear that boy growling at me. That spirit crying out through that boy. And I grabbed a hold of that 7-year-old and he did everything in his power. He screamed, he cursed, he bit, he clawed. But that dog that was there to guard that little boy sat right there in that corner while I carried that boy outside of the house to his parent, his grandma, his grandpa, and my parents to pray over. And that boy crashed about on the ground because there was a spirit in him. And I'm sorry if I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable, but if you believe any word in this Bible, it says there are demons and spirits. And they're here today. I see them. And I'm sorry if that makes you feel uncomfortable, but Halloween's coming up. So keep that in mind. This isn't play around stuff. If every word of it's true, they're out there. And that little boy thrashed about and he prayed over that boy. And his spirit left that boy. He didn't even know what he had done. He didn't even know what he had done. You see, the anointing, when it falls, you've got to act. You don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know what hellhole it's going to bring you down into. But we're to proclaim liberty to the oppressed. It's a spiritual war. When you get down on your knees and pray for somebody, you're an artillery shell firing that prayer over into Satan's backyard and causing some damage. You're doing an act of war with your prayers. And that's what it demands. That's why we're called Christian soldiers. That's why we're to put on the full armor of God. We're not in a nerf war out there. People get hurt. Souls are being won and lost and dragged down into hell for all eternity. It's not a game. So when the anointing falls upon you, when it's down inside your heart and you know this is what you have to do, you're being called to serve for a greater purpose than yourself. I know I'm preaching pretty strong today, and part of me said I should change my sermon because I knew who all would be here. But that's not how the anointing works. I'm supposed to preach the gospel. Not what I want to preach, what he gives me. So I'm sorry if I made some of you uncomfortable. Take it up with the man upstairs. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for involving us in your work, Lord. But most of all, I want to thank you for anointing your son to pay that sacrifice, to pay the penalty for each and every one of our sins, so we obtain mercy from you and not what we deserve. I want to thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name.